The gospel lesson for this Easter Sunday comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Now, of course, the Easter story appears in all four of our canonical gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So they tell a story, each tell it in their own way. And so as you hear this story, just listen for something that's being spoken to you, spoken to your heart at this particular point on your journey of faith. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran, and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Pretty good. Let's do it again. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right, friends, we are glad that you are here with us this morning at Pleasant Grove. And if you're here for the first time, we hope that you do feel like this is your church home, because it is your church home. And we hope you'll return again in the very near future. And if you want to find out more about the church, check out the website, read the bulletins, if you have one. If not, but if you don't, just check out the... Oh, call Ashley. Call Ashley anytime, day or night. All right. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right. For the most part, as many of you know, I like to do things the way I always do things. I like tradition. I like, if something is working for me, I like to continue doing what works. I don't want to just change something just to change it up and see what happens. That bothers me, you know. Traditions, I mentioned at the middle service that, you know, on Thanksgiving, certain foods I want the same foods. They even the exact same spot on the tables. I know you're thinking OCD. Okay, anyway, that's all right. Anyway, I like things to be the same. And for instance, I like to cook. I love to cook, but I like to have a recipe. I don't want to just wing it. I want to have a recipe, and if it says a quarter of a teaspoon, it means a quarter of a teaspoon. It doesn't mean a half teaspoon. It doesn't mean an eighth of a teaspoon. It means a quarter. So anyway, that's the way I am. Now, I'm married to someone who doesn't care. I shouldn't say it like that. Doesn't care about recipes necessarily. I mean, let's just substitute this for that. No, you don't do that. My motto is don't mess with something that works. You know, I go driving somewhere, then I go take the same route. Why would you take another route? If that route works, do it. If it doesn't work, take a different. Take it. Find a new one. Anyway, my bottom line is, why take the risk? Don't take the risk. Okay. Today's Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right. Today's Easter. On Easter Sunday, we tell the story. That's what we do. Every Easter, we tell the story. We tell our story. If you were here last year, we were out in the parking lot, and a lot of people got sunburned, and we told the story. And the year before that, we were online. We were virtual exclusively, and we told the story. If you were here 25 years ago, and many of you were, we told the story. 50 years ago, we told the story. 100 years ago at Pleasant Grove, we told the story. 150 years ago at Pleasant Grove, we told the story. 175 years ago at Pleasant Grove. Let's see, Bill Kresge was here. And maybe a couple others. But anyway, every year we tell it over and over and over again. And it goes something like this. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." That's Luke's version. Year after year, we hear that same story. Sure, we may use the alternates, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but it's basically the same story. It's a story of resurrection. That's what it's about. We gather to retell that story. And of course, we may not agree exactly what that means. You know, what is that? What happened? No, we may not agree about that. But somehow, the mystery that we call resurrection draws us to this place time after time after time. And it's not just on Easter, really. I mean, we just name it today, okay? The resurrection story is the reason we gather every single time, every single week. You know, this is not the Sabbath. Sabbath is Friday sundown or Saturday sundown. This is the first day of the week, not the seventh day of the week. We gather to celebrate resurrection. Okay, a few minutes ago we read John's version. But we ended with verse 18. Okay, we could have read on through verse 22. We continue the Easter tradition, the same day. So if we had read on from 19 through 22, we would have heard these words, and we're going to hear them right now. When it was evening on that day, that first Easter, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house the disciples had met were locked out of fear, Jesus came, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Friend, that's helpful. To me, that's very helpful. It's helpful because it reminds me and should remind us that the story, our story, the resurrection story, is not a story that can be just confined to the past, 2,000 years ago. No. Resurrection is a durative narrative. Resurrection is an ongoing experience that continues to unfold in a community that claims that story. And here we are. Again, happy Easter. All right, good. All right, I lost about half the people by this point at the middle service. Okay, anyway. Verses 19 through 22 are critically important to the story because the significance of resurrection cannot be limited to an empty tomb in first century Roman-occupied Palestine. No, that would make it too easy to dismiss. Oh, that's something, blah, blah, blah. We're telling a story about something that happened a long time ago. To be too easy to dismiss, ignore, or even turn into a sugar-driven candy fest, if you can imagine that. That was a joke. Oh, my God. Happy Easter. All right, okay, let me mark through that one. Okay, verses 19 through 22 remind us that resurrection is about life, ongoing life. It's about the breath of God that blows in and through our lives, a breath that is life-giving, a breath that is restorative, a breath that is recreating us. So we began our first service outside this morning, out by the cross out there. Susan Brosnan read from the prophet Isaiah. We didn't read it this service, so I'm going to share these words with you now. They're from chapter 43 of Isaiah. "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" That's perfect. That sums it up. Resurrection's about newness. It's about restoration. A restoration that was already unfolding well before that first Easter Sunday. It was unfolding in the life and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, most of them, if you think about it, most of the amazing stories about Jesus center around his ability to restore life. You know, restore life in the face of life-denying circumstances, from the healing of the paralytic to the raising of his friend Lazarus to the cleansing of the leper. It's what Jesus did. You know, he offered life, new life. Okay, at the outset of Mark's gospel, which is the first gospel to have been written, it's earliest count, Jesus summarizes his message in this way. And you know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. That's it. In other words, the presence of the sacred, the presence of holiness, the presence of God is permeating this world and sustaining our lives. He then says this. He says, let me show you what that means. And then he goes about doing all the things that he did, things I just listed, things that give life. And then at one point, a young man just can't comprehend what's going on. This is just too strange, this kingdom of God talk. And he says to Jesus, teacher, what must I do to find this? How do I find this life? I don't get it. And Jesus says, sure you do. Sure you do. Tell me how you understand it. And the young man then quotes the scripture. Parts of Deuteronomy 6, Leviticus 19. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, that's it. Absolutely right. Do that, and you will find life, and you'll find it abundantly. But he still couldn't quite get his mind around it. No. And the young man said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? How do I limit my love? How far do I have to go with this? And of course, we all know how Jesus responds. He tells a story that we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, if you were here a few weeks ago, we spent some time through Lent. We looked at the different parables, and a few weeks ago, we looked at this particular parable about the Good Samaritan. And if you remember, at the very end of the story, the climax of the story, the Samaritan has taken this broken human being, taken them to an inn, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of them. Whatever else you spend, I will pay for it on my return. But the key was, he said, take care of him. Somebody didn't know, probably culturally an enemy, take care of him. And when Jesus told that parable, the young man got it. He understood. He understood resurrection. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Life. Our mission statement at Pleasant Grove is simply this. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. So like Christ did, we as a community attempt to extend life to those whose lives are broken, both inside these walls and outside these walls. Not that we always achieve this level of faithfulness. No, far from it. But our vision and our goal is to be such a community. In Luke's account of Easter, which I read a few minutes ago, the following words are spoken to women at the tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. And that's really the timeless Easter message, I think. He is not here. In fact, this is a lens through which we can view our ministry and constantly assess our ministry. Because if we are not alive, if we do not brim with life-giving presence of Christ, then we're wasting our time because he's not here. He's not here, and resurrection has eluded us. You do not find the living among the dead. Everything we do should be life-giving and life-affirming. As followers of Christ, we must live out resurrection as we extend new life and grace through our life. Brother Lawrence in the 17th century said the Christian life is about practicing the presence of God. We practice it. You know, we practice resurrection. Now, you may not have realized it when you walked in here this morning, but you have because I've mentioned it several times now, that this community, a community called Pleasant Grove, is enacting resurrection today. Okay? You see, today is the first Sunday we have been back in this place on our regular worship schedule in over 2 years. 25 months. And it feels so good. It feels so good to be back. You know, and because we are now back, in full swing, we have no excuses. We used to say, well, we can't do that now because of blah, blah, blah. But we can't say that anymore. We have got to get busy. You know, a lot of things have changed over the past 25 months. So one of the most difficult tasks we now face as a community is trying to figure out how we do church now. You know, the world has changed. How do we do church now in this place? And that's exciting. That is exciting. It's like the old Jeremiah thing. You know, we read that scripture at the first service day too. Taking an old pot, reworking it, making something new. So anyway, I like to do things the same old way. That's really what I like to do. But maybe, just maybe, there is a better way. A better way. So on this Easter morning, I am inviting you to come and help us tell the old story in new ways. Now, of course, vital traditions will live on. But maybe new traditions need to be born. Your church, and even if it's your first Sunday here, it's your church. Sorry about that. It's your church. We need you to help us figure this out. How do we do church now? Now, I've quoted this person, and Beverly Skinner is here. A friend of mine, Chris Barrett, was a pastor in South Carolina Annual Conference of the Methodist Church, and he died a few years ago, a young man, young family, and just he was a bright light in this world. And he died after a battle with cancer. And I don't know how, Chris was probably in his early 40s, you think, Beverly, mid-40s, when he passed away? 30s, young man, very young man. And despite his youth, he had an amazing depth of character to him. He was a gifted pastor, and he's missed dearly by this world. But shortly before his death, Chris wrote an article. And I've shared these words with you on Easter before, but I just can't help. I've got to share them with you again as we think about this new day. It was published in a newsletter of some sort, if I remember correctly. And let me just read part of this story for you. The God we tried to nail down is loose. The God we thought could be contained breaks every limit we set to seek. The God we understood to be present in one holy place has chosen instead to flood the world with holy presence. God is moving out of the temple, and we are the temples God is moving into. We are where God's Spirit comes to rest. But not only to rest, within us God stirs, God meddles, God provokes, God comforts, God embraces, God forgives. Like the farmer in Jesus' parable who tosses seed indiscriminately, this way and that, God's Spirit cascades out of the temple enclosure, determined to find new places to take root and grow. And we become the repositories of God's self-scattering. Friends, today is Easter. Today we remember that the God we always try to contain, we try to nail down, we try to limit, we try to define, to control, cannot be controlled. Today we remember that we are repositories of God's self-scattering. And the question is, what does that look like right here, right now? So, this is the invitation. Come with us, and we will find out. And we will find out. When he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, receive the Spirit of God. All right. Welcome back, but it's time to go. Let's go together. Thanks be to God. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right. Amen.